Banks are safe. There's enough cash in the financial system. And there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. Don't you
Then I would sell my Bitcoin right into this rally. And believe me, I have been a believer one time in Bitcoin. Not here, not now. Find somebody to love. Don't you
arbitrage on this trend has been margin called.
I think it was a hook. Trust to your idols, now they got you shook. Believed in the crooks, hell of the same. Are they cooking the books? Save up a day and all us in a day. Now the new rappers just getting away. Bigger the bank, bigger rebel effect. When it all blows off, it is you who will pay.
Behind the answers of the success. Pull back the curtains and what do you get? And it's the risk with a bit of net. Made from your savings and 401k. Give it to the other side of the trade. Socialize lessons while reaping the gain. First to fall in this reckless war. Cause it's just a pawn in the fertility of this game.
Money talks and pay for the show. Pay for the crowd. Pay for the thrill. Pay for the media to lie to our face. The truth so we repeat our mistakes. Sell us a dream but never deliver. While raking in fees, including the tickets. Siphoning funds from the mouthless bigot. Blindly the blind to the all complicit. Money is cheap and addicted to growth. Commingle the risks so nobody knows. How far ever go to a damaged collateral? Another excuse for oppressive control. When government captures private play. Reapers are bailing at the end of the day. We're calling for help but nobody came. The bailouts are poor and inflated.
Money deeply rots at the core. Don't believe intentions are pure. This crypto contagion stems from a system that incentivized fraud. As schemes get more complex and fallible humans left and checked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economies are locked to X.
What would happen if we take our money out of rich systems? Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchasing power. How do we build a base? Replace the until it affects with the world of free markets.
Even independent systems to remove the risk of corruption.
Step 2.
Move the savings in their systems so no one can ever touch it.
Step 3.
Learn, save, spend, train. All activities move this way. We were our own. Everything changed. We no longer positive to the
effect. Tired of our desire, earning our work, and I'm tired earning a larger piece of pie, or a yours to be on by. Money is the art of heroism when the master chief scored a politician, coming and capturing part of the place, and we reap the value at the end of the day.
So we can move value without being citizens. Move up from gambling, saving. Move up from all the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't have the trust to be what they say. So we're freedom and what can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can get to the turn of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's the king.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 70 of the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces. I am your host, Coleman, and I hope everybody is having a fantastic week and everyone is getting ready for Thanksgiving on Thursday. I'm sure people are starting to have family trickle in or people are traveling, so I do appreciate everyone who's joining us today. For everybody that's in the room right now, though, if you could do me a favor, just go to the top of your screen and just go ahead and reshare this, and let's get some more people inside the space. We're going to have a lot of good discussions going on today. I want to make sure we get that message spread. So if you could just do me a quick favor and just go ahead and retweet this link. But while everyone's still settling in, I know, refilling your bone broth, your coffee, if you're over on the West Coast, you know, getting the gunk out of your eyes, or if you have family that's been in since the weekend, maybe making your coffee Irish, I just want to make sure that everyone understands the reason we do this episode, the show every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. And it's quite simple. We're a group of veterans and we understand what's being thrown against us, and we know the fight that we're against, and we can see the writing on the wall with Bitcoin. We can see that it is freedom technology, and that the further we go down these rabbit holes, the further it just expands our mind and the more that we gain knowledge. And so again, this Thanksgiving, even though, you know, Bitcoin had its Black Friday sale a little earlier than on Friday, it's a great buying opportunity. Don't make price the biggest talking point. Make sure we discuss all the different rabbit holes and the different avenues Bitcoin leads us down. Again, it's just, it's so amazing. And you just, again, you should always try and strive to be learning. You should always try and better yourself. And with Bitcoin, there's really no, there's no top with it. There's no top with the price, but there's no top with the amount of things that you can discover, the different groups and communities. And so again, let's make that our focus this week. And especially when we're sitting down with family members, let's make sure that price is going to be brought up, but it's just going to be a small segment of what we're going to be discussing and talking about. Talk about everything else that comes along with that. I want to give some shout outs to people in the audience though. I see we have Eomer up on the panel. We've missed you for the last couple of days. So good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, I've been a little busy in the mornings here. So sorry, I missed you guys. I have to go back and listen to the previous episodes because I think, yesterday, I think you guys had a good one, right? Because I had some technical talks going on.
Well, let's clarify that statement. They're all great episodes. But yes, yesterday's was really good. We talked about UTXO management and the CTV, fork and how that's, going to be important to make sure again that to make sure that we can fulfill Satoshi's, you know, promise or his goal. And that's a peer-to-peer decentralized payment. And so we need to make sure that everybody is able to do that. And the way that things are going, and especially if we start getting nation state adoption, the fees to and the ability to hold your own Bitcoin and transact with it are going to become very difficult on the current rails. So we had Mining Goblin join us. And again, he's just extremely knowledgeable in this area. And so I really enjoyed it. I knew it was good. We could have went on for 2 hours with them, but I was trying to keep it to the 60 minutes. And so it was a really good discussion. I think it's up on Spotify or not. Just go back to, our link, on our handle and give it a listen. It was a really good one. But I want to say good morning to a couple other people out there. I see, we have Johanna in the audience, Bitcoin Alaska, Coinfather, Death in Bitcoin, Randy K. I have Jesse, Captain B, Sats, Will, George, Beached Whale. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. And if you haven't had a chance, make sure you go check out the Daily Intelligent Bulletin that's up in the nest. Some really good intel and news on there today that we're going to be covering. And good morning, Shane. How are you doing this week?
Hey, morning, everybody. Morning, Coleman. Doing good, man. Was very busy last week running around, I think your neck of the woods and, hate that I couldn't get over to you, but we had a jam packed schedule. And yeah, I'll tell you what, the spreading of Bitcoin continues. I got to see one of my friends from the Marine Corps. It was his 20th anniversary of getting, blown up by a grenade in Fallujah. And, you know, something he celebrates every year, which is, you know, odd to me, but they do it. And so a bunch of us came out for that and, he's fine and everything, but, with that, I got the opportunity to talk to quite a few of these guys that are all veterans and now they are Bitcoin veterans. One of them is a financial advisor and his financial advisor, and, they are now in the Bitcoin veterans, community. And it was a lot of fun to kind of give them some orange pills and talk to them, you know, at a high level about these kind of things and, you know, make some, you know, at least open some doors and plant some seeds. So it's been a great week so far.
That sounds like a perfect grunt logic to me to celebrate that event. So checks out.
I was fortunate enough to be able to do a couple events where we worked with veterans who were seriously wounded overseas. And a lot of them have that same kind of twisted humor with their injuries. And so I guess you just have to make the best of a bad situation. And so I'm glad that they're doing well. And I'm glad that you're able to orange pill everybody. And the next time you're in town, you definitely hit me up and we'll make sure we can get together.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to do any doxing. That place is huge, by the way. You know, and trying to figure out where people might be in the surrounding area, just, I mean, it's insanity. Can try to keep up with the amount of areas in that general region.
Hey, it's all good. You hang out with enough of me during the week, you know, I don't want to limit my exposure as well. So I understand. No worries, Shane. But I want to definitely go ahead and start diving into some things today. We got a lot to cover, over this week, and we're going to have a short week. So, the first thing I want to make sure everybody's aware of, if you have a Ledger hardware wallet, go ahead and, transfer your Bitcoin to, a new hardware wallet. If you're not aware, Ledger just did a new patch or update to all of their devices, but it has a backdoor to it where it allows government to access its user seed phrases if they have a subpoena for it. So don't transfer your current seed phrase with your Ledger to a cold card. Go ahead and just create a new seed phrase with a cold card and transfer everything over to it. If you use that same seed phrase, just because you're using a new device, they can still go ahead and get that. So make sure that you guys are, and girls, heed that advice. And again, you don't necessarily have to use a cold card. I know that there's some other ones out there. I think Blockstream has a really good one. And then Jack Dorsey created one as well. But I love cold card. I think MVK is very open with what he does, and their stuff is pretty spot on. So highly recommend doing that. But Shane, Omar, do you guys have thoughts on that?
Yeah, a couple. So first off, like, I used to have a Ledger, and I actually moved off of it because they, like, once you're on there, they just shill shit coins to you all the time. So it just started to irritate me. And that led to me switching from Ledger to cold card. So, you know, I think it's a great leading indicator. You know, if there's something that you're using or somebody you're listening to and they're shilling shit coins to you, that should be a huge red flag in terms of, trust, right? They're not your friend at that point, right? Like, you know, like your friend's not telling you to, you know, do drugs and shit that are, harmful, and your friend's not shit, like, shilling you shit coins. Especially, like, you know, you'd assume, like, it's one thing if somebody to do something out of ignorance in terms of shit coins, but, you know, a company like Ledger, I don't think it's ignorance. It's just, pure profit driving, profit driven. Oh, I can't speak. That was my indicator to get off of Ledger. And then the second thing is more of a question. Now, is that only pertaining to those that are currently using a Ledger? Or I don't even remember how I transferred my Bitcoin back in the day, but wouldn't have that backdoor access from previous users of Ledger, right? It's just from, like, the new firmware.
So it's actually if you update the firmware, and that's, you know, that was one of the things that they were pushing years ago, when this kind of broke loose. If you guys don't know, Ledger is a French company, and when they broke this news a while back that they were, you know, updating people's firmware. Hey, you know, go ahead and update your firmware. And by the way, we'll have access to your keys if you do that. And that, I think that was, you know, the first signal, hey, get off. And it was speculated even then, it was said, hey, if this is already happening, this is just going to be a backdoor for the authorities. And obviously, you know, now that it's coming out that, yeah, the authorities are going to have a backdoor if there's a warrant. I will also say, you know, one of the easiest ways, I had a Ledger, just like EMR, and, you know, it was great for a while. And now obviously that it's not. One of the easiest ways to get off of Ledger securely into a cold card is through the Sparrow wallet. You can take those 24 seed words that you have for the Ledger and just enter them into Sparrow wallet. And what it's going to do is it's going to bring up the entire, entire history, obviously, that you have there. And then you can just grab an address from, you know, a cold card that you have on Sparrow and then transfer it onto there. It's going to burn all your keys anyway. But at that point, you're getting rid of that Ledger. So one of the easiest ways in the world to do it.
And again, it's better to be safe than sorry. Just assume that if you have a Ledger that they do have access to your keys. So just go ahead and start over. And it's good to go ahead and keep things fresh and make sure that your OPSEC is top notch. So, and it's not hard. Again, it's 12 or 24 words. But again, don't overcomplicate it. It's pretty easy to memorize that. And just spend a couple days going it over your head and then you're set. And then punch a new seed phrase on a metal plate, and gonna go ahead and use punch plate right there. Punchplate.com. Stamp that new seed phrase on. Good morning, AC. How you doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys.
So AC, you're my resident MicroStrategy guru. So you want to go ahead and if you have time to fill everybody in over the weekend, what MicroStrategy did, their purchase, and just kind of the expectations to close out this week with QQQ.
Yeah. Hey, Coleman, I appreciate that. I'm by no means a MicroStrategy expert, but it was interesting. They bought 55,500 Bitcoin, currently hold 386,000 and change in their treasury. Looking forward towards the end of the week, I think it'll be interesting whether or not Saylor is going to use some of that ATM. I think he's got 12 billion left on his ATM. And that's an at-the-market purchase to buy more Bitcoin as we move towards the 29th, which is the NASDAQ 100 rank day, as folks are calling it. So we'll see. But it's all interesting. I know that there are some people who are opposed to MicroStrategy and think it's a bit of a centralization threat. But ultimately, I still kind of hold fast to the everything is good for Bitcoin and Bitcoin is for everyone. So those are kind of my two cents, and we can dive into it if folks want to. If they don't want to, that's cool too.
No, let's dive into this a little bit, and let's try and squash this. It's there's a lot of talk on Twitter or whatever we're calling it X about MicroStrategy and how people are simping for Michael. Again, I don't think any one of us has said we should sell Bitcoin to buy MicroStrategy. It's not MicroStrategy stock is not a replacement for cold storage Bitcoin. It never should be. MicroStrategy, you can like quote unquote diversify, you know, what you're holding, even though it's still a Bitcoin proxy. But I still think it's a good play to have if you have a little bit of excess funds and you pitch your Bitcoin goal. Like everybody's Bitcoin goal is different. But if you're there, you're almost there, like you have some extra funds, why not do it, right? It's not a long-term play. I wouldn't say that you're going to be able to, you know, forever live off MicroStrategy. But if, like, again, some of us have repairs for our homes that we want to do, and we've utilized the play on MicroStrategy. For myself, that was one of my plays with it. But I got in at the start of the year, like, really, really early before it really had this big tear. So right now it might be a little bit more quote unquote risky to get in right now. But it still shouldn't be a replacement, and it never should be a replacement for holding Bitcoin. And so I just want to make sure everyone understands that. Again, it's driving me crazy with that, but we will be having, on the show, on the 10th of December, we're going to have some, MicroStrategy analysts coming in. So we're going to have Ben Workman joining us. We're going to have DR Lewis, fellow BB, and we're going to have Adrian, and I forget his last name, but they'll all be joining the show. And go ahead.
It's Adrian Morris.
Adrian Morris. Thank you. And they'll be talking about MicroStrategy and kind of the play and how they see things unfolding over the next 12 to 24 months. So it'll be a really good episode. I can't post the link yet to it. It's just a little too far out. Twitter won't let me create a space that far in advance. But once we get the link out, I'll start tweeting that. But it kind of pulls back into MicroStrategy. Again, I think it's a good play if you hit your Bitcoin goal or you're close to it. But Eomar or Shane, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I just want to say two things. First, there's never own enough Bitcoin. So the Bitcoin goal is unachievable. The other thing is, I just looked into that ledger thing a little bit, and cause I don't know about anybody else that ever had a ledger, but I went to a little mini panic attack there about them having my seed phrases. So apparently that was in relation to when they pushed out the like ledger recover thing, and basically like where they would store your seed phrase for you. So if you ever like lost it, they could recover it. And they were basically saying that, since they have, access to it, if they were subpoenaed by a government, then they would have to turn over that information to the whatever government subpoenaed them. That said, I still would not use Ledger because of just the myriad of issues between the shitcoining, this, which is like a major data risk, and you may think like I'm not doing anything wrong, I don't have anything to fear, but don't forget the way the government behaved against that trucker strike in Canada. You don't necessarily have to be doing something wrong for like the government to go after you and try to debank you and go after your assets. So don't take on that risk. The beauty of Bitcoin is to get out of that system and to remove yourself from that risk. So don't partake in a way that, it's the same with exchanges, right? You don't want to keep your Bitcoin on exchanges. There was a couple months ago or last month, maybe I was having issues with an exchange I've used for years. They wouldn't let me move my Bitcoin. And luckily, like I move it off frequently, but it was still like, a month or two worth of DCA that was stuck on there for a while. You don't want to have like your whole stack sitting in exchange and then run into that issue. And mine was just, whatever technical aspects that they were flagging me. I think VPN usage or something, but, it just shows you, like, if a government comes after your stack and you have it in some vulnerable system like that or Ledger with their potential, vulnerabilities and stuff, you don't want to be there. So, like we said, use a cold card, use a punch plate, use your, brain housing group there if it's functional enough. Mine is not, so I have it, stored on metal. Just wanted to loop back on that because I feel better now that I read the full article.
Thank you for clarifying that. And then I just want to make sure we stress one other piece on that. Again, it's Thanksgiving week. We're going to have a lot of family members reaching out. A lot of them are going to see the Bitcoin price moving up. Do not store your seed phrase on anything digital. Don't type it out and print it off your computer. Don't save it on a computer file, Google Cloud, whatever you're utilizing. Just write it down on a piece of paper that you intend to light on fire as soon as you have it memorized. Just really big. Again, I don't know if they can do it now, but I'm sure, once Bitcoin's price hits a specific number that makes it incentivizing for hackers, I'm sure they'll find a way to just scour computer files and the clouds to look for any single seed phrase words that they can find, and they'll be able to start picking it out. So again, just pretend like your Bitcoin is worth 100 times what it is right now, and do you feel safe with your current setup? And so just treat it like that. Did you guys want to follow anything else up on Sailor or the Ledger? Okay, I'm going to move into this because I think this needs to be addressed. Try not to spend too much time on it, but it's a little concerning, just the rhetoric that's being thrown around with it. So NATO weighs preemptive strikes amid Russian threats. So NATO, as confirmed by Dutch Admiral Rob Bauer, is discussing the possibility of preemptive strikes against Russian weapon systems if Russia was to initiate attack. This strategic consideration comes in response to threats from Russian President Vladimir Putin about retaliation of the use of Western-supplied long-range missiles by Ukraine. And other reports coming that Biden is trying to put nuclear weapons back into Ukraine before Trump takes office, as Trump is signaling that he wants to stop the war, so they want to make sure that Ukraine can defend itself. So, gentlemen up here, you want to give your thoughts on this? Is it a nothing burger, or is it something that we should start kind of paying closer attention to?
I think it's wild. Go ahead, Shane.
Oh, I was going to say, I think one of the biggest things that they're trying to drive here is fear. And if they can drive fear, this can have serious consequences in terms of missteps by the incoming administration. I don't think Trump and his administration is silly enough to try to do anything like remove them from power early. But I also, you know, think that people need to understand that this is not Joe Biden. This is Anthony Blinken, and let's just, you know, his criminal syndicate of Israelis that are running the government through bureaucracy. If you look at the world this way and you understand that these guys are running everything from media to the highest levels of bureaucracy in most Western civilizations, and they're running the fiat banking cabal, it all starts to make sense. If your communist ideas are dying, then what do you have left? You have force and coercion, and that's it. That's why Bitcoin is absolutely the most important asset on earth right now, because it's this black hole that's soaking up all the liquidity that these guys are pumping out, and it's changing the face of how communication happens between people. This threat of a preemptive strike, I hope it's honestly nothing. But we are also living in the most dangerous time in not only our history, but I think world history, when you've got this many, you know, countries that are armed to the teeth with nuclear weapons, and who has their hand on the nuclear weapons right now? We all know who it is. And, you know, in an excuse to use this, whether it's through, failed diplomacy, which is just war, or the idea that, you know, we're going to have a black flag in one of these events. That, I think this is what people need to be prepared for. No matter what happens, you know, more nuclear bombs going off isn't going to lead to more peace. That's the thing is, you know, if somebody does a preemptive strike, then what happens next? Another strike? It's got to be all of us all in unison saying no more, whether it's, you know, some sort of dirty bomb or some sort of black flag or a preemptive strike or retaliation. It's just got to be absolutely no, we're not doing this, we're not supporting this. And I think there needs to be movements. I think there needs to be tax revolts. And, you know, this needs to be something that is headed up by people with huge followings, and it has to be civil disobedience at that point.
Yeah, I think, I wrote an article, I think last week or something, and one of the things I say that we should just get rid of and completely abandon is NATO. And I've started reading Scott Horton's book, Provoked, and I just feel more strongly about the fact that we need to get rid of NATO. Just from the current perspective, I'll start from the current perspective and I'll just loop back to what I've read so far and Provoked. But from the current perspective, NATO is essentially based off of the United States. You know, we are the powerhouse of NATO, and then the second most powerful military in NATO is Turkey. If you have watched like recent events, there was an issue where we would not sell Turkey Patriot missile systems. So they went out and bought the S-400s from Russia. And then buying the S-400s from Russia, we kicked them out of the F-22 program, which they had a major part in developing. So then they went on and developed their own, fifth generation fighter. And now with the ongoing genocide in Gaza, they have, I think they recently like suspended all trade and finally, cut ties with Israel. They were one of the major trading partners with Israel. And the reason I bring that up too is because it's just showing you how far we are pushing the second strongest military in NATO away from us. So the reality that I see is that were Russia to attack Poland or something, right? Or to respond to a British or French attack on their soil, I don't think there's a high likelihood of Turkey actually fulfilling their obligations as per the NATO agreement. So then it just falls to us. So we have, these two relative like pipsqueaks in terms of like their actual military capability. They're designed to fight like rebels in Africa. They're not designed to fight, a major superpower. It's the same thing we see with Israel trying to lure us into a war to fight Iran for them and to fight Hezbollah for them because they can't win. It's a lot of the same that we're seeing from the UK and France. They cannot win a war against Russia. Their total capabilities of weapons production alone is pathetic. They can't even produce a fraction of the 155 shells that Russia produces. And, you know, as much as we like to give shit to the artillerymen, you know, they always say they're the king of battle for a reason. It's a way to bring down pain on your enemies. There was a report in Ukraine, they wanted 10,000 rounds a day and they were only getting about 2,500. And they said with that lowering of munitions, they see like three times as many casualties just because they can't suppress, the movements of the Russian forces. So the point here is NATO is an empty husk that relies entirely on Americans fighting and dying for a foreign nation and spending all of our capital to keep these wars going. We do not benefit from it at all. It's the same with our support of Israel. We don't benefit from it at all. It just costs us stuff. So my argument, and you know, this is something that, you know, I think we should hope for and push for in any way we can, is that Trump just trades NATO for peace in Ukraine. He doesn't like, you know, in the past he's said he doesn't like NATO. Like I said, it's a dead, empty husk that relies on our blood and sweat and tears. So trade it, you know, say like, listen, we'll withdraw from NATO. If you withdraw from, you know, most of the territory in Ukraine, you can keep a little land bridge. That's fine, whatever. But withdraw from the rest and we'll withdraw from NATO and NATO will be dead. That's the path that I think we should push for and hope for. And then, just to loop back to what's in Provoked, if I really recommend you read that, I'm only like, I don't know, a handful, maybe 30 pages in or something, and just seeing the way that they pushed for continued conflict to make sure like the Cold War never really ended, after the Cold War technically ended. It's terrible. And you can see from that standpoint, like how NATO is just you know, it has nothing to do with peace. It's, or defense. It's just something to aggravate and instigate wars. You know, with Russia, and we saw them acting in Libya and other places as well. So, if you are in America, you know, you should be vehemently opposed to our participation in NATO.
Yeah. There's nothing I can add to that because that was, both of you guys said that perfect. And so, you can be hesitant about it being factual or not, but when you just take a step back and you look at everything going on and what the new administration coming through is wanting to accomplish and how they're trying to get rid of these just deep rooted elites and the deep state, you know, when you have power, you do not want to give it up. And I think we saw that all pretty evidently during COVID with the mandates and the mask. And you could see even like flight attendants overstepping their bounds and they had a little sense of power and they just wanted to act like a dictator. So again, it's not unrealistic to think that these deep state officials are trying to push for a global conflict so that they can stay in power and like Shane had said, just have martial law so that nothing can get transferred over and they can carry out their plans. And I think Sun Tzu said it best is that evil men will destroy their country just so that they can rule over the ashes. And so it's horrible. I really hope that Russia is, you know, level-headed in this. Again, it's unfortunate that we are relying on them to be, you know, the good people in all of this. And so just make sure you're watchful and make sure you just, you know, you're prepared for everything. So did you guys have anything else you wanted to touch on that?
I forgot to mention, I posted that article in the Nest that covers a bunch of stuff, but the NATO portion's in there too, if you guys are interested.
Yeah, I guess the last thing I would say on this is just the final extraction of wealth. When I say they're going for broke, this is let's get as much money out of the United States as possible. Let's move it to, you know, to where we can store this, And that's the key. I mean, we've seen it all along. It's at, you know, the point, you know, the question becomes, you know, at what point do people get tired of having their money taken away from them through force and coercion, through tax and inflation? That's really the final question.
Yes. And then, you're talking about draining or trying to extract all the wealth. I think Biden's floating around, an executive order where he's just going to forgive the billions of dollars that we've given Ukraine, because everything we gave was supposed to be a loan that they were going to pay back to us. But I just saw it over the weekend. I'll see if I can find it and throw it in the Nest. But he said that he wants to forgive everything. And so again, it's crazy. We just live in a very weird timeline, but I think it's going to be starting to cleanse, and it's cleansing itself. you know, Trump is really trying to push for tariffs. I do think the tariffs will be a good thing. It'll help try and balance things out, get rid of the federal income tax. But just mentioning that he wants to put a 25% tariff on all goods coming in from Canada and Mexico, I believe he mentioned this yesterday. And as of this morning, Mexico is trying to get on the phone with him and speak, and they've promised that there will no longer be caravans reaching the U.S. southern border through Mexico. So something that they had no ability to stop for the last 4 years is all of a sudden just completely vanishing on the threat of these tariffs. So it's, things are healing themselves. Walmart CEO says they're ending their DEI anti-woke procedure. And so again, like that I think Mark Moss talks about a pendulum swinging with things, and we went all the way to this insane on the left where we should be, you know, castrating our children, giving them puberty blockers because it's all normal and you're weird if you don't think it, to swing it back the other way. Like, you guys are all crazy. This is weird. We need to stop this. DEI is horrible. And so it's nice to see that we're starting to get back to a sense of normalcy. And it's just, I really do think, and no administration is perfect. But I do believe that we're heading in a better path with this new administration taking over. So just to make sure we can do everything in our power to allow them to take office on the 20th of January. But Shane, AC Omar, do you have any thoughts or comments on ending all this wokeness and the cartel caravan?
The only way, like, I really like tariffs is if, you know, the idea that he kind of tossed out there, which was, you know, abolishing the income tax in favor of tariffs. I guess like tariffs as a political tool, you know, I guess it could work. I guess that's what we're seeing now. If they're saying they're just going to, you know, close off the inflows of, illegal immigrants and stuff. But the end result of a tariff is like the consumer is going to be bearing a lot of that cost. So, you know, just keep that in mind. It is just another tax. So it will like hurt Mexico to a degree, but like, for the most part, like it's more of like a long term, it'll hurt them, right? You know, if there's a Ford manufacturing plant in Mexico, you know, it's not going to instantly like teleport the plant back over to Detroit. You're just going to see a steep increase on your, Ford trucks, on the price that you're paying for them. You know, some of it maybe they can absorb, but I don't think that these motor companies are that profitable that they can absorb a ton of it. So, you know, the end user will be bearing the brunt of those costs. So, you know, while I understand what he's using it for, don't get too excited about, the use of tariffs for anything other than replacing the income tax.
And so you're right on that, Yomar. And I was under the assumption that he's trying to get rid of the income tax with these large tariffs that he wants to impose. So, by doing the tariffs at even 25%, but eliminating the federal income tax, it's a win for the consumers. Yes, the initial shock is going to be steep because prices are going to just rise across the board instantly. But after, you know, 8 months, 12 months, you're really going to start saving money. So as long as he does both the tariffs and eliminating the income tax, then I think it'll be good. If he's not able to eliminate the income tax, then I think he's in for a world of trouble.
Yeah, and we should know, I think, pretty early on how I think a lot of the things that he's been talking about will go. I think he's got to move fast. If he starts getting bogged down, I think he's just going to get stuck in, you know, the swamp like he was in 2016, and all these promises will be unfulfilled, and it'll just be the continuation of the same old, same old. So, you know, keep an eye on those first like 100 days or so. That's when I think we'll have a really good indicator. And, you know, I made the argument before, but if you're, I'm sure a lot of the people in here are libertarian or third party voters. But you know, if he doesn't come through, you know, that's what the midterm elections are for, to send signals and stuff. So, you know, it's a good time to clean out all the rhinos or the whatever party they subscribe to that are, you know, supporting the deep state. You know, kick them out, even if it's for somebody else that sucks. At least you'll cycle in some new people. I think that's the trap that they get us in. We're afraid to cycle in, you know, like I typically lean conservative. So like the default is like, oh, let me like vote, you know, libertarian, or if there's not one, maybe Republican, cause I don't want like a Democrat in there. But you know, my current representative is a really shitty Republican. So like I didn't vote for him because I would rather have a really shitty Democrat in there. And then next, you know, 2 years from now, get a better Republican in there. And it's kind of like a sacrifice we have to make, I think, at some point.
Approaching this adversarially, you know, and with a huge record on the side of, you know, the government, right? The government doesn't like getting rid of taxes. You know, this is history. You know, once a tax takes hold, then they increase the amount over and over and over again. So, you know, in the long run, you know, let's just say we're on a continuum. Government does what it always does. It says, hey, not only do we want to, you know, ramp up tariffs, but by the way, we're also broke. So we need to keep this income tax at least ticking for a while. Maybe they drop it a point or two. I don't know, whatever it is going to be. Or maybe they try to restructure it where they go to, you know, a consumption tax like the fair tax, which I'm going to tell you guys right now is not the way to go. After doing all the research in that, I used to be a fair tax guy, and I will tell you the people behind that, I know them personally. They're a bunch of snakes, and they will stab you in the back just like the Republican Party. But I think, you know, there's a good chance that they honestly keep both the income tax and go to tariffs because they're broke. And let's just say, you know, they don't. Well, now this is where that continuum plays out. In the near term, you guys are absolutely right. It's going to be super painful, and, you know, prices are going to skyrocket for a while. Will manufacturing come back to the United States? Yeah, it could, it should, but, you know, in terms of, you know, if they turn income tax off, then instituting another income tax is going to be absolutely impossible, at least for the, you know, a couple of generations here in the United States. So it's going to be something, you know, that we're going to have to wrestle with over time. Yeah, I think, you know, this nation heals, they start getting back into their own resources, and, you know, America's absolutely resource rich. And you know, this idea of tariffs, I'm not a big fan of it, but I think over time, as Bitcoin continues to decentralize and become deflationary money that's in the hands of the right people, I think you even get a reduction in tariffs over time. So it's one of those things where, you know, this timeline is max pain for everybody who's not in Bitcoin. And I will say that, you know, again, if you're not in Bitcoin, this coming cycle is going to be extremely painful for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just thought of something. I'm not sure if all the listeners understand what tariffs are supposed to do. And so Shane, I know this has kind of been your wheelhouse a little bit. So would you like to give a little explanation, or I can go ahead and do it if you don't want to?
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, tariffs were actually one of the ways, and it's a way the Constitution was structured in the beginning. You know, before we went through and passed the 16th and 17th Amendments back in 1913, along with the Federal Reserve Act, when you know, America was thriving, and you look at architecture, you look at roads, I mean, minus the interstate system, but you look at the quality and the design and the proof of work, right? Like, we're not talking about, you know, labor that was done overnight. We're talking about labor that took decades and decades to complete, and it was all done by hand and hand tools. This nation operated on the premise that we would tax incoming goods to the country. And that was the way the United States government at the federal level got, you know, got their funding. You know, and that's, I don't know that it's a good or bad thing. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, it's all good or all bad. Let's not, you know, make binary choices like that. That's just silly. There are some things that it does help. Obviously, it helps manufacturing. It helps us being more independent people. And that's, I think, the biggest thing. Is if you look at this, and I was, you know, I come from the libertarian Austrian school of thought, you know, yes, are taxes bad? Are tariffs bad? Are they paid by the people at the end of the day? They are. However, it also has this, you know, secondary and tertiary effect of spawning creation and manufacturing inside of the areas where it's not going to be taxed. So it can compete at a lower price for the market. And I think that's one thing that I think a lot of libertarians and autists, you know, and I'm one of them. I was, you know, that guy that was like, no, tariffs are going to hurt us. I think this is a better way. I think, you know, in terms of building a more independent culture and a more independent nation, I think you have to go this route. If you don't, then we look like, you know, the fiat nation of the past 50 years, where we've just exported all of our talent, all of our engineers, all of our, you know, dreamers, everybody that had, you know, this amazing work ethic. And let's face it, you know, Americans had, or at least during that time, had some incredible work ethic. And I think that's what you, what we need in terms of, you know, culture and being, you know, men and women. We need something that is rewarding, that at the end of the day, when you say, hey, look, man, I did this, I built this, I created this, whatever the case is. And tariffs are a great way in terms of spurring an economy inside of your own borders and creating independence. So that's my take on it. Good, bad, or indifferent, I may be wrong, but that's my take.
No, you're right. And you need to start looking inward, especially as the world becomes more, you know, not bipolar. I'm trying to think of the correct word. But as the countries start to separate and there's not this harmonious, you know, trade going through, you saw it in during COVID when we needed supplies, but all the ports were shut and everything was coming from China, like that just wreaked havoc across the entire country. And so we need to start incentivizing to have domestic goods made here again. And again, you're not going to be able to make everything here. It's impossible. And it wouldn't be feasible. You know, there's going to be different countries who have different skill sets. And they're going to have better resources than we do. So it'll make sense to go ahead and utilize trade with them. So you'll find that that sector won't have as large as tariffs. But for other things that we could be making domestically, those are going to have a higher tariff rate to them. And so it's just, thank you, Shane, for that explanation. I just want to make sure everybody understand what was happening with that. Really quick, just want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Check them out at solosatoshi.com and make sure to use BTC Vets for 5% off your order. And if you pay in Bitcoin, there's another 10% off, so a total of potentially 15% off your order. So check them out at solosatoshi.com. Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo supplies at blacksheepammo.com. Punch plate, we mentioned them earlier in the show, but stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate, punchplate.com. And Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. And last but not least, Bitcoin Alaska. You're going to be at the best conference next year, July 5th and 6th in Juneau, Alaska. Get your hotels, get your tickets, check them out at bitcoinalaska.org. And we've had a lot of speakers already been mentioned on their website, but the newest one that was just released is going to be sorry, I'm trying to find his name really quick. Scott. Sorry, guys. Give me a second. I apologize. Sorry. It's Joseph Kelly, co-founder and CEO of Unchained Capital, native Alaskan. He'll be speaking there at Bitcoin Alaska. So again, the link is up in the nest. Go check him out at bitcoinalaska.org. Okay. So a couple other things I wanted to mention. As we start rolling into the Thanksgiving break with family and friends, make sure we're all set up. When people ask why the Bitcoin price is sitting at 93K, don't get frustrated. Don't get mad. I know it's going to be really hard because, again, Bitcoin went from 66 before the election, so less than a month ago, and now it's at 93. So just tell them, just make a joke, you know. Bitcoin had a Black Friday sale for you, and so it's making cheaper. But make sure as we're directing our friends and family to this journey, we don't focus solely on price, because again, if they're going to be only focused on that, they're going to be the first ones to sell it when the price crashes, and then they'll be the next one to buy it when it hits its next leg of 150 or 200,000. So just really stress the importance of just the fundamentals and why you need Bitcoin now versus when you absolutely need Bitcoin in the future. So just make sure we're talking about that. Send them to River to purchase it. Send them to Strike. Those are two that I use. Steer them away from any exchange that deals in shitcoins. So Coinbase, Binance, all of those no-goes. But Strike looks like they just released a new feature that's going to be coming in a couple of weeks. They're going to have Strike Bill Pay. So you'll be able to pay your bills directly from Strike, and Strike already has push to bank account or push to your debit card abilities. So really cool news coming out of Strike. And again, it's just making it easier for us to utilize Bitcoin and be 100% on Bitcoin and not utilize fiat whatsoever. So I'm trying to find an exact release date for this, but I can't. So if anyone has insider knowledge of it, just let me know. But I think that's some pretty big news coming out of Strike. I know Fold app, the Fold debit card that utilizes Bitcoin, has something very similar to that. So it's nice to see that Jack and his team is able to jump on that news. Shane, Eomar, AC, do you guys have anything you want to kind of hit on for talking with family members about Bitcoin and kind of the common pushback that you get during these discussions?
The only thing I do is like I never tell anybody they're going to make like money or like, you know, I try to like talk about like the fundamentals of it. Because if you tell them like anybody, family member, friend, stranger, anybody, like, oh, like put your money in Bitcoin, you're going to make a bunch of money. You know, it's going to like Bitcoin, you know, can be volatile. There's different, so many different variables and stuff. It could dip down. And if you're only looking at price, then, when you see a dip, you're going to be incentivized to, you know, a lot of people will sell low and buy high, you know, so they'll see it's high. They'll say, oh, I should get into this, and they'll buy it thinking they're going to make a bunch of money. And then if it dips a little bit, they're going to be like, oh, like this was stupid, I'm going to sell it. So don't focus on the price. Talk about everything else except for the price. You know, if they talk about the price, just kind of like how we do in this space a lot of times, we kind of just shrug it off. Like, yes, the price is moving. It will move. It'll go up. It'll go down. But it doesn't really matter because, you know, and then you get back to the fundamentals. You know, like, you know, there's a fixed supply of, you know, 21 million. You know, most of them have been mined, blah, blah, blah. You can start getting into some of like the technical stuff. They really probably don't care about the mining aspect of it. But just let them know that like it's not going to inflate like the US dollar does. You know, that in terms of like purchasing power, sometimes you'll see like the purchasing power versus like the average house in the United States. Like that's a useful, graphic you can bring up. One of my articles has like the purchasing power of the different like fiat currencies, like the USD and then the BRICS nations. And then I have Bitcoin stacked on top of it. And you can just see how the purchasing power of Bitcoin just continues to rise while, the fiat all drops. So like that's the kind of stuff I would talk about, not necessarily like the actual price because, you know, price will just make people antsy and it's not the main thing to focus on. Again, you don't want to alienate people and you don't want somebody to feel they were duped. And, you know, if they can understand it and want to purchase it because of the other reasons, they'll be in it for longer. The risk of them, you know, getting nervous and selling on a dip will be a lot lower. And it'll be better off for them in the long run.
Yeah, that's perfect, Yomar. And make sure the examples that you're using, or the situations you're using as examples, is relevant to what they're going through. And so don't talk about, you know, homes if they're in high school. Cause, well, I guess you could still utilize that, but again, try and make it relevant to where it's going to really impact them. And this way they're able to relate to it. And then, the other thing is like paint them a picture. I always love finding fun facts about like the amount of debt that we're in. $36 trillion. Like that's just such a large number. No one can really visualize it. And so the one I found over the weekend, actually my son found this one out for me. And so I'm stealing it from him. But if you were to stack dollar bills, one on top of each other, there is enough dollar bills with $36 trillion to go to the moon and back 10 times and then still have enough money to buy all of Michael Saylor's Bitcoin that he has at the current price of $93,000. Like, put that into perspective for people and it really opens their eyes. Like a dollar bill stacked on top of each other can go to the moon and back 10 times and you still have extra. That's how much $36 trillion is. So again, just crazy numbers. So yes, thank you, Yomar. Shane, yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to throw out one more thing. I just posted it in the nest there. I wrote an article back in like January. It covers everything from like our manufacturing and all that stuff, but it also covers, the inflation, the debt, and like Bitcoin and how it's an alternative, to all the failing like fiat currencies. So if you don't know where to start, I would take a look there. There's a bunch of sources in there and stuff too. So hopefully you guys can use that as a resource to prepare. There's some images in there and stuff as well if you need something to share with people.
Thank you for that, Eomar. Shane or AC, do you guys have anything that you'd like to hit on or you'd like to bring up during Thanksgiving with family and friends?
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but being unsufferable this year is just going to be my thing. I mean, really just absolutely going after, you know, everybody and going, hey, you remember when you said all that? No, I'm kidding. For the most part. And I say that because, you know, this is an incredibly new that you're going to have. It's all going to be extremely nuanced. You got to know who you're talking to. Know your audience first and foremost. And, you know, a lot of times I've been in Bitcoin for a while, and they may even, you know, approach it with you this time around instead of you saying, well, yeah, that's why Bitcoin's so important after every politics and religion and everything comes up at the table. And I'll give you guys kind of an example. Like this past week, I mentioned earlier in the show that I was out with a bunch of, you know, my Marine buddies, some guys from the Army and SF, and, you know, one of them, their financial advisor has been for decades. So the investing started immediately. You know, Shane giving you his Bitcoin pitch yet, and, you know, guys start laughing and everything, but then you start to go down that route. And what's funny is, you know, what doesn't work with the, you know, common society works with veterans, right? Like shame and ridicule is one of those things that absolutely works in the veteran community a lot of times, especially amongst guys that you have a lot of respect with. You know, you can joke around with people, you can do all of these things, and it's going to make you more personable instead of sounding like a Bitcoin robot. So going after their financial advisor who's out, this is a true story, like they're telling me that he's sending them pictures of him out hunting elk and moose and caribou and all these other things while they're still, you know, grinding away at their fiat jobs. I was like, well, your muckbucks and who's actually, you know, putting money in an asset that they can't, you know, manipulate. And so you start conversations like that and you start to tweak them. And, you know, if you can, you know, and you can go that route where you can insult them and you can belittle them and all of that fun stuff in good times, like that's okay to do as well. So, you know, just be receptive to the idea that there are still people out there that, man, you know, I'm not going to buy it. We'll have this conversation when it's 500,000 or a million or the thing is leave the door open, you know, and leave it at that. I think that's the way you have to do it. It's the way that's worked for me, you know, time in and time out, but just be receptive to who your audience is and use nuance.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. And again, like, oop, did I talk over you, Shane? Sorry.
I was just going to give a big shout out to, Dave Benner in the audience as well, man. He's a great guy. If he ever wanted to come up on stage, I'd love to have him.
Yeah, Dave. So if you want to come up here, we'd definitely bring it up here for the last little bit. But thank you, Shane, for that. And again, one of the things that happened over the weekend was Charles Schwab's plans on entering the Bitcoin ETF market. Again, at the beginning of the year when it came out, they wanted nothing to do with it. But now they're bending the knee. So again, everybody gets in at the price they deserve, and eventually everybody just, they have to admit that this, they've never seen anything like it, and they have to change their way of thinking. So you're right. And I think, financial planners, you know, they're going to become obsolete as people understand that they don't need to pay somebody a fee to, you know, to make their money grow. Just buy Bitcoin and hold it, and it's going to work. But Dave, good morning, sir. Welcome to the panel.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks, Shane. I love what you guys do. Thanks for proselytizing the escape hatch from the fiat system, man. I really love it. I'm not as in tune and, you know, knowledgeable about it as all you, but I'm certainly an enthusiast. I do a daily buy on River every day and, keep stacking those sats. So thanks, guys.
It's the easiest, but hardest advice to take is just to stay humble and stack sats consistently. Again, it's probably one of the most difficult things to do. AC, did you want to say anything and close out the show?
Yeah, not necessarily to close out the show, but just to, you know, focus on Thanksgiving for a little bit. I really like what Michael Saylor says, when he says that everyone gets to Bitcoin when they have a need to know, right? And this ties really well into when, we had Robert Breedlove on the video podcast, and he talked about, everybody gets Bitcoin either through proof of work or through proof of pain. And I think a lot of people over the past 12, 24 months have really started to see and feel that proof of pain. And so I think it's important to connect those dots for people on Thanksgiving, whether it's talking about how expensive the turkey's gotten or the ham has gotten or how much further their dollar isn't stretching anymore, and help them connect those dots from a first principles perspective and really lead them to water with Bitcoin, and not necessarily, like everyone has said, not to gloat about the price going up and, you know, 2x, 3xing ever since whenever somebody might have bought it, but really help them, you know, guide them along that path to see that, hey, there is another way versus this fiat hamster wheel, and help them break out of the matrix. So those are kind of my two cents.
Yeah, and it's really easy to go and do a lot of this stuff yourself, and it's also fun to do. So like, go back and just check what the price of Bitcoin, what it was 2 years ago, and then last year, and then right now, and then just play around with the numbers. Like, if you would have bought a house last year, in Bitcoin, it would have cost you, I'm going to make up a number, it would be 40 Bitcoin, and that same house today is only going to be, well, it's probably going to be less than 40, but probably 20 Bitcoin. And then that same house today is going to be 4.5, 5 Bitcoin. So again, it's just the rate of growth that Bitcoin does outpaces fiat, and life becomes cheaper on a Bitcoin standard. And that's one of the biggest things that I see amongst my friends is our kids are starting to get to an age where they're going to start driving their own cars, they're going to university, they're going to buy a house, and it frustrates me. And I try to stay as patient as I can. Thanks to my wife, she really keeps me calm during this. But they talk that they can't afford this stuff. They can't afford a car. They don't know how they're ever going to get their kids a house. And you try and show them what Bitcoin can do right now. There's still time for them. You're never too late to get into Bitcoin and just start right now, start slow and just watch your money grow. And it's not a race. It's not a sprint. And if someone's telling you a certain price at a certain date, like just. Do not listen to them. This is the long game. This is not a short game. If you want to play a short game, go to the casino and put some money in there. Or you know what? Another short game. I would say MicroStrategy is a short game. It's not a long-term play. Again, some people want to hold on to it forever, but if you're trying to maximize gains quick, that might be another option for you. But Bitcoin is not that. Bitcoin is meant to hold and pass on to your future generations. We're Bitcoiners, and we always pride ourselves having a very long time horizon. So don't just be caught up in the now. Price dropped $6,000. It doesn't matter. That price is going to be a lot more attractive right now in 6 months when the price is a lot higher. So again, just extend your time horizon. So thank you for that, AC.
I just want to throw one last thing out there. If you know family members that are, you know, at least open to reading books and stuff, books and stuff, consider, you know, sorry, I'm losing my voice here. Consider bringing them a copy of, you know, the Bitcoin Standard or whatever your favorite, Bitcoin related book is. You know, if you order now, at least where I'm at, I can get it overnight. So, from Amazon. So, you know, consider that as another option, potentially. You could lay the groundwork and then hand them the book and let them finish up from there.
Give them a book though that you've read. If you've never read the Bitcoin Standard, first, I recommend you read it. It's a great book, but give them one that you've read, because they're going to ask you questions from it. And if you haven't read it, they're going to start questioning what you actually know. Why would you recommend me this book if you haven't read it? So make sure whatever book you're recommending, you've read over and you are familiar with the talking points on that. That is a great point, Eomar. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I always pass out the Bitcoin Standard. I've bought dozens of copies of that book. I can look up on my bookshelf right now. I have multiple copies there. And so I just constantly pass that out because it's a go-to. It addresses a lot of things. And it can be, the pushback I get is it just seems a little overcomplicated. It seems like a little intense at first, but that it's supposed to be, you know, it's going to be intimidating when you're starting from zero. But once you start reading it and rereading it and you start diving into things, start making a lot of sense and it becomes easier. So
the best thing too is that Saifedean Ammous doesn't believe in IP. So you can just get the PDF, man. That's such a great book.
Right from the safe house?
I think he distributes it. I think he's done it on his Twitter. I'm sure you could find it and pull it up, but I mean, there's nothing better than like the free entryway, you know, to this. And, it's just great.
Yes, absolutely. So we are hitting the top of the hour. I have some things to do before Thursday, so I have to go run up and do them right now. So do you guys have any other final comments or anything you want to get off your chest before we wrap up today's show?
I'll just say one other thing, if you don't mind. I'm just really looking forward to this Congress with Cynthia Lummis's potential Bitcoin Strategic Reserve bill coming up. I think that there's a real chance of that passing, and that would be a big boom to, you know, this whole world. There's a lot of optimism, and you could kind of see it from Michael Saylor in his recent interview with Natalie Brunel and the MicroStrategy additional purchases. So I'm just going to keep my eyes on that. I think it's really interesting and really a white pill for what you guys and what we're all doing. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for coming up here, Dave. You're welcome up here anytime. I appreciate that. And case you all don't know, or didn't know, sorry, can't speak English today. We have Dennis Porter joining the show on Monday. And so we'll be talking about his efforts with Satoshi Action Fund and see if we can pull out and extract some information, some breaking news, as he likes to put it, but see if we can get some on the strategic reserves that the states and the country wants to implement. So make sure you tune in for that. But that'll be an amazing show. So I'm going to wrap it up right here. I do want to thank everybody who tuned in, everybody who retweeted the link, and for everyone who just had us on the background to drown out your family members or the voices in your head. It really means a lot to me. We will be doing this again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So make sure to tune in. Bring a friend. If you have family in town, this is a perfect way to start orange pilling them. We're going to have tomorrow's conversations get going, a lot of like Bitcoiner 101, how to kind of get ready for the conversations that will be taking place during the Thanksgiving table. And so just want to make sure that everyone is prepared. There will not be a video podcast tonight. We're going to take the week off so we can spend time with our family. So, but that will be coming back up next week as well. So that's all I have for you. Get out there, be patient, spread the orange pills, and I'll see you all tomorrow morning. But don't shitcoin. It's like using dial-up internet to stream a 4K movie.